The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.
Welcome to another edition of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama. I'm David Person. And this is our new season of the Healthy Alabama podcast. We are producing the podcast this season in partnership with WJOU. And we're producing all of our studio interviews at WJOU. And so we're glad to have this new arrangement. So as we launch this new season, we're going to do what we always do. And that's to connect once again, kicking things off, with our project director, Sonia Smith. Sonia, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
You know, there's so many changes going on in our nation related to healthcare that we really weren't 100% sure that Enroll Alabama was still going to be here, and here we are 2017 on the cusp of 2018. We didn't know if the Healthy Alabama podcast was going to be here, and both are here. So that's great.
That's fantastic.
It's great news for the people of Alabama.
Yes.
Right?
Most definitely.
So let's talk about that for a little bit. First of all, let's talk about how have we been able to survive this healthcare debate and the attempt really to eradicate the Affordable Healthcare Act.
I think that the biggest way that we have been able to survive has been that people know the importance of health insurance. People now have had the Affordable Care Act, and they've had health insurance through the marketplace with their subsidies for 4 years, and they've gotten used to it, and they appreciate the benefits that they have been afforded because of the ACA. And when talk came up of trying to take that away, people recognized what they were losing. It wasn't an abstract anymore. It wasn't a maybe. It was a reality. And as people really started to look at their pockets and look at their health, their healthcare in general, they stood up and they did what we should do in our country to appeal to their leaders, their elected officials, to not repeal the ACA.
Mm-hmm. And so consequently, the Republicans in the Senate, well, in Congress, period, have not been able to do what they had been saying
right
for the past 8 years they wanted to do. The president, who campaigned on repealing the Affordable Health Care Act, mm-hmm. has seen that that's not, I don't want to say it's not possible, but certainly it's been a lot more difficult than he ever imagined.
Right.
And so we are here with the Affordable Health Care Act standing and in relatively good shape. Mm-hmm. Has anything changed at all? Is it completely intact, or have they been successful maybe in whittling away bits and pieces?
There are some minor changes that, minor in comparison, mm-hmm. But there are some changes that have happened through the ACA because of the new administration. One in particular that we're seeing that to have the largest impact comes with special enrollment periods. So as your listeners may or may not remember, you can still get enrolled outside of open enrollment due to a life-changing event, which will qualify you for what we call a special enrollment period. The rule has always been that you would have had to have had a life-changing event. So you move to a new county. You have a change in household size due to marriage, divorce, birth, death, adoption, or you are released from incarceration. Or have a change in income, significant change in income. All of those are what we call life-changing events. And within 60 days of that happening, on the front and back end of that occurrence, then that qualifies a person for a special enrollment period. And then all it took was to go in, submit your application. You might have to show documentation of the move or the change in income, but then you would have your coverage. You could go ahead and pick your plan and move on. Now, the new administration has changed it such that you needed to have had coverage for one of the 60 days prior to when that life-changing event happened. Mm-hmm. So before, if someone maybe missed open enrollment, they could kind of come under the radar during an SEP and they could get coverage, but now they would have had to, they would have needed to have had coverage for one of those days so that they can get enrolled. So that's probably been the biggest change that we've seen, is that that one day rule. And most people do, you know, they are okay with it, but there are a few that that hurts. And our goal is to make sure that people who need insurance are able to get it. So that's one change. And another is just in terms of documentation during the SEP. So as before, like I said, it was mainly a change in income that a person would need to show documentation. And now it's for any SEP that has to be, that documentation has to be received by the Marketplace call center. And then once that's received and it's been verified, that person will then be able to get their, have their coverage to start.
Now you said SEP.
Special enrollment period. Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yes. Okay. Okay. So otherwise everything is pretty much intact. I guess the other thing that comes to my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that the enrollment period is now shorter than it once was, right?
Right. The enrollment period is shorter. It in the past has gone until the end of January, and this year open enrollment is November 1st through December 15th. Now, the thing about that is that it was always built into the ACA that open enrollment would be limited to 6 weeks at some point. So we knew that in the 2019-2020 open enrollment period, we would have a shorter time. This just got pushed up a year or two so that people have a shorter period to get coverage. But, you know, in looking at information, most people get covered between November 1st and December 15th anyway.
Okay.
After December 15th, historically, for the, well, by historically, I mean the past 2 or 3 years, most people would have already gotten coverage. I'd say probably 90% of enrollments in the past have happened in that time frame, in that last, those last 6 weeks, because we have holidays, we have Christmas, and then we have New Year's Eve, and all kinds of holidays that are happening along the way, that in January, most people aren't thinking about health insurance.
Okay.
So I think that I'm not too sure what the goal was with shortening it early, but I don't see that as having an, as negative of an effect as would be expected.
Okay. So the Affordable Health Care Act is still very much in effect.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a little leaner, a little trimmer, but not by much.
Correct.
And it's still very much in effect. What do we expect? So what this means is, I guess, is that, again, just to make sure that everybody's understanding, if a person enrolls during this upcoming period, November 1st to December the 15th, that means that they absolutely will have health care and the subsidy, if they get the subsidy, for the next 12 months, for the entire 2018 calendar year.
Exactly. That will stay the same. As long as a person applies by December 15th and makes that first payment by December 31st, their coverage will begin on January 1st, and then they're covered throughout the entirety of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing that we have to remind people is that the ACA is a law, and laws take time to change. They take time to go into effect, and they take time to be repealed. So there's very little that can happen in terms of the law itself that would happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Just for a moment, I don't want us to get overtly political here, but just for a moment, as it relates to the Affordable Health Care Act, I'm curious to know if we can talk about a little bit and examine a little bit how it fared here in Alabama. In other words, okay, the president campaigned against it and won, and he won big in the state of Alabama.
He did.
Did we see a correlation between the success of the Trump candidacy and his campaigning against the Affordable Care Act and the level of enrollments? Did they go up? Did they go down? Or did we see a connection at all?
I would say no,
okay,
to be honest with you, because when we go back and we look at the data, this past year, enrollments were lower than the previous, but that was across the board.
Hmm.
And that could be for a number of reasons. As we know, the new administration cut funding for advertising in the last few weeks. So that could be have something to do with it. But again, that puts us in alignment with what's happening around the country. So that's not anything I think that would be significant or just limited to Alabama. The day after the election was the busiest day ever for people to get enrolled.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The most enrollments ever in a single day happened the day after the election. November 9th was the highest traffic, most number of enrollments. The thought is that people said, okay, well, they knew of the new administration coming in. They knew how they felt about the ACA. So I think the thought was, if I have my coverage, then I can be locked in,
right,
and it won't be taken away from me. It'll be harder for it to be taken away from me. So I think, and that was across the board. So I think that shows that people really do believe in the ACA. If they're willing to go in and they feel they need to get this before it's gone, they really believe in the ACA. And in Alabama, you know, we know that we are a majority Republican state. But there are a lot of people that support the ACA, although they are Republicans. They support the ACA, maybe not publicly, mm-hmm. but within their own home or within one-on-one with us, they support. They appreciate what they're receiving from the ACA. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say that the level of support that Trump received in terms of votes in November is in any way relative to people's feelings about the ACA.
I think you're right. It's not at all indicative of how people feel about the ACA or even about perhaps something much more radical than the ACA, which you and I have discussed, and that's single payer. Mm-hmm. There are conservatives. I've talked to conservatives mm-hmm. who have not only conceded that they believe that single payer or what we might call Medicare for all, mm-hmm. you know, it's just going to happen. It will happen at some point. But they seem to believe that at this point, it's even the better way to go,
mm-hmm.
which I think is interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I mean, we're in a really interesting place in healthcare in our country. We could really go any direction. And as we have, you know, been told, healthcare is hard. It's much more difficult than anyone expected.
Yeah, how about
so
that?
So who would have thought that? You know, it's not something that you play with lightly, and it really does, you know, and I know this, it really does bother me that that's not necessarily seen. Mm-hmm. The powers that be don't always see how making this into a political pawn or a game, how much that hurts people. We have people that are committing suicide because they don't know what's going to happen with their health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people, multiple stories of situations like that. And the best thing that we can do, though, as enroll, is to be as knowledgeable as possible so that we can give the best answers and that we can, the most informed answers mm-hmm. and accurate answers mm-hmm. so that we can be here as a resource to our community. Because that's ultimately, no matter what happens with the ACA, our objective is to be here as a positive resource for our community.
I truly do not understand why there are people who believe that healthcare should be a commodity just like, you know, anything else.
Right.
I mean, you know, I get that as much as we rely on computers, you know, it's not a God-given right to have a computer
right.
or to have a cell phone or
correct.
A smartphone. But healthcare, really? You want to treat healthcare like that? Like, well, if you can afford it, then you can get it, and if you can't, oh well. Really? And then the other thing that's weird about that way of thinking to me, Sonia, is that people who don't have health insurance
mm-hmm.
are going to get medical care because they're going to go to the hospital, they're going to go to the emergency room. And then it's going to end up costing that community, that hospital, and ultimately, when you aggregate it all nationally, society more
money. That's right. That's why preventative care is so important. If people are able to be seen on a regular basis, and if we can treat people before they become severely ill, that's so much cheaper and that's so much better on a person's quality of life than to wait until the back end. And like you said, people are going to get coverage. People know that if I go to the emergency room, I have to be seen. And they're going to use that to their advantage. They're going to go, they're going to rack up bills. And then, of course, that means that the hospitals will do what? they'll have to raise their prices.
Yeah.
And then those rates, those price increases fall back on to us. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a part of the 1% group.
Right.
So I can't easily afford, you know, these what are so-called minor increases in health insurance. Right. So if we can, you know, if we can as a society, if we can value, and it starts at the top, valuing health and valuing our healthy lifestyle and going to the doctor and seeking out preventative care and retraining our minds to say, okay, we're going to go see this physician versus the emergency room, then that's just a win-win all around.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why on this podcast we have promoted veganism so heavily and vegetarianism. And I understand that's not for everybody. I get that. You know, some of y'all got to have your ham hocks and your crawfish and whatever else it is y'all are eating. But you know what? If you just even if you continue eating those foods, if you just integrate more plant-based diets and meals into your daily consumption, you're going to be healthier, mm-hmm. you know, and hopefully it'll help to mitigate or offset any of the damage that may be caused by excesses in other parts of your diet. But again, science is bearing it out. I mean, you know, like it or not, science is bearing it out that plant-based is really overall the healthiest way to live in mm-hmm. terms of what we eat and what we consume. But I know y'all ain't trying to hear all that.
You know, even if I'm looking to the doctor.
I'm looking at you.
Because I'm not giving up my meat.
I'm not giving up my beef or bacon.
Yeah. I can do moderation, but yeah. Let me tell you,
moderation is great. Mm-hmm. Moderation is great. I mean, I'm not, and believe me, I'm not one of these, I'm not like a vegan Nazi or something. I absolutely believe that, you know, if you can't do vegan or even vegetarian, then just be moderate, you know, be selective. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to eat meat, you know, get, you know, the best quality meat, mm-hmm. grass fed, and try to stay away from, you know, meat with steroids if you can, mm-hmm. you know, just go the cleanest possible route you can mm-hmm. and definitely be moderate. I'm with that.
That's the goal.
There you go. That's the goal. All right. In the few minutes we have left, let's go ahead and have a conversation, a realistic conversation about the future. Mm-hmm. So we've made it to another year. Mm-hmm. We're glad for that, mm-hmm. for the nation, for the state. We're happy about that. But what do you think, and maybe it's a little early, but then I don't know if it is, because again, because of the continual drumbeat of repeal, repeal, repeal that we continue to hear coming from Congress and the president. I mean, do you have any thoughts about what might happen after 2018?
Well, in all honesty, I think the administration will, if they were to leave things alone, I think we'd be okay. I think that they have been trying to nitpick and find ways to pull apart the ACA, but I think people are smarter than that, than they realize, and people are seeing that. So I hope that they will really just leave it alone, to be honest. I think that 2018 will be, the elections in 2018 will be more telling, though. Because what happens in November of 2018 will really give us a good idea about what to expect in health insurance. Because who we put back in office and at that time will show you really what's in people's hearts of what they want for health insurance.
I think you're right. 2018 is going to be very telling, and we'll see. It's hard to, at this point, it's kind of hard to predict nationally what's going to happen.
It really is. You know? The attempts that have occurred have been unsuccessful. And, you know, and this was always the hallmark. This was that one thing of we're going to repeal, and then repeal and replace, and then we're going to repeal later, replace. And yeah, so it's been a hot topic. It's been a really hot topic. And you and I were talking earlier, as you mentioned, about the single payer, and that might actually be the way that we have the out, or that might be the next step, mm-hmm. is to introduce some sort of single payer system that is not called single payer, but looks like it and acts like it.
Right.
And that's the new quote unquote new plan that is presented to the American public.
Well, in the meantime, whatever happens, at least we can say for the upcoming year, calendar year 2018, folks who sign up between November the 1st and December the 15th will be eligible. Well, first of all, we'll get health care, can get health care through the exchange. And then if they're eligible, they'll also be able to get that subsidy.
That's right. And they're really generous subsidies. People from between the 100 to 400% federal poverty level. So as a household of one, again, by household, we mean the number of people that are on your tax return, not under your roof, but on your tax return. And so for a household of one, that's about $11,880.
Wow.
So that's the bottom. And then it goes up to about 30, upper 30.
Wow.
30,000. So they're generous tax credits. Again, it's on a sliding scale based on income. Lower end, you get more. If you're on the higher end, you receive less. And that's still there. You know, that is still something that people can count on to help them offset that cost.
Great. Well, I'm glad that the ACA is still here. I'm glad that Enroll Alabama is still doing what it's doing. And I'm glad that, you continue to give us an opportunity to do what we're doing here with the Healthy Alabama Podcast. Sonia Smith, Project Director for Enroll Alabama. Thank you, as always, for kicking us off for this new season. A big shout out and thank you to Enroll Alabama for making it possible.
Well, thank you for putting this together, having the vision to put this together, because I think this is a fantastic resource for our state and beyond our state, because as we know, listeners are not limited just to one particular area. So thank you for what you do to get the word out about us being a healthy Alabama.
Awesome. Thank you, Sonia. The Healthy Alabama Podcast is a partnership between WJOU and David Person Media, LLC. The theme music was produced by Dejon Bailey. I'm David Person, host and producer of the podcast. Until next time, be healthy.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.